All right. Coming off a short week here. Who's going to kick us off? We'll see how many this is just a busy week. That's all there is to it. We'll see who jumps on tonight. So.
Yeah, I think right now there's just a couple of us.
What's that?
I think right now there's just a couple of us.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Hey, what's up, Mike? It's Ryan.
Oh, hey, Ryan.
What's
any questions or updates for us?
No questions right now. I'm just like, as far as updates are concerned, man, I'm just trying to get these bird dogs out and get some leads. I actually just got another one started in a zip code today, and
nice.
He's planning on starting tomorrow. So he's done some driving around before for some companies just to take some pictures. So I'm kind of excited about him to see see what type of leads he's going to bring in, see what type of work he's going to put in. I'm gonna probably end up posting another ad because I think that ad has kind of fell down a little bit, and as far as the ranking, is Craigslist. So I'm thinking about refreshing that ad just to get some more traffic. I've been talking to a lot of guys. Yeah, I've been talking to a lot of guys, but you know, you send them the information, you talk to them, and then you don't hear anything from them again. So I'm not hanging my hat on that too long. I'm just moving on. If I don't hear anything from them in a day, then I'm just putting somebody else in their zip code. So
that's absolutely it. No need to follow up. Just find somebody else. Because when somebody's finally interested, they'll call you back. They'll talk to you. They'll be receptive. They'll start driving. They'll send leads in. So.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, and that's what I've been kind of getting. So I'm just beating the pavement, trying to get to those 250 leads as quickly as possible.
Perfect.
Other than that, I've been contacting some buyers, trying to have some of those conversations. As far as
have you talked to any yet?
I've talked to a couple of them.
How'd the conversations go?
It went pretty well. Everybody's looking for deals right now, so I followed the script, and they seemed like they were pretty receptive. Seemed like there was a couple of serious guys who done some deals and.
Did you ask them how many they've done in the last how many they bought in 2017?
I missed it on the first couple of them, and one of the dudes said he bought like 10 of them.
Okay, that's decent.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, that was like that's decent. I mean that's not bad.
Most investors, people who call themselves investors, don't buy a property.
Right. Yeah.
Most get weeded out at between zero and one, right?
Right, yep.
Then you have a small percentage that do a handful, right, one to five, whatever. Somebody buys 10 a year. That's legit. That's almost a property a month, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's perfect. That's why we're asking the question. Because you're already, the second you meet them and have that first conversation, you're already sorting them.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
Yep, you're right. Yep. So I've been down, just beating the pavement down with that. Just trying to get established in that market and build the business around that. I've talked to some. I got two guys that I'm really liking as far as putting them on my phone sales team. I got both of the guys are high D's. They're like, just give me the stuff and I can go. I don't need a whole lot of direction. They like the fact that, and I actually like one of the guys because he's actually local here. He responded to one of my local ads. So, we're supposed to have a conversation tonight and try to see how we can, how we can make this work and what it all look like. But
he's
highly motivated.
Do you think you can generate enough leads to stay out ahead of two guys?
I was thinking one for acquisition and one for disposition.
Okay.
Yeah, so
I like it.
That's kind of why I'm going. Yeah, that's kind of why I'm going right now.
Here's what I'll tell you. If you think you have enough leads, put them both on sales.
Okay.
If you think you can stay ahead of them, you have the budget to do it. You have right. You've got this bird dog thing figured out, or you just say, "I'm gonna figure it out." You put two high D people on these leads and create a little competition right out of the gate. I'm telling you, they're gonna be wired to compete. And when they compete, your business wins for sure.
Right, right. Yeah, and
so
I had a conversation with him and let him know.
I'm okay with either way.
Yeah.
But if you want to, because until you have some deals under contract, there isn't a dispositions position yet.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly, right.
But, yeah, you could have them both on sales and then move one of them over. Or if you can feed that machine, because I don't know how many hours a week each of them have, but if you can keep them both and then find a third person for dispositions here in 2 to 4 weeks.
Yeah,
probably 2 weeks. Yeah. So you know where you're at, how much time you have, how fast you want to move, and how, you know, what kind of lead gen you can afford. So I'm throwing it on the table because, you know, when Rob launched Memphis, they launched in April. I mean, they had some things prepped, but they launched in April. They did over $100,000 in May, the very next month. And they went from, they brought on Chris, first sales guy, and then they said, Chris, who do you know? And they put three people on the phone right out of the gate with a couple thousand leads. Now, right, you're not there yet. You're working on your first 250.
Right.
I'm just saying that that's kind of the model and how they did it and how quick some of those results showed up, right?
Okay.
So they clearly exploded and launch. So you make the right call there, but I'm just saying that is an option.
Yeah, and just thinking forward, that's kind of how I've been thinking. I was like, if I get the leads in, and you know, I wouldn't mind putting both of the guys on, you know, starting them off on acquisitions, and you know, if I need to peel one back and put them on dispositions, then I could if I needed to.
If you have the leads, I'd put them both on acquisitions, even if you run dispositions for a little period of time.
Mm-hmm.
They will no doubt tee up multiple people for you to talk to in a short amount of time. No question.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now, do you usually have your disposition guy, once you get him established, do you usually have him, you know, contact a certain amount of buyers each day, like new buyers?
Yeah, and you're going to want to – that's a little bit different. For somebody to go in a sales call and work a script and just talk to a homeowner, they don't have to be able to talk shop as an investor.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
They're just asking, you know, hey, here's what we do. Here's a little bit about our company. Here's why we do it. They just go right through the script. How long have you owned the property? How long has it been vacant? Blah, blah, blah. They don't have to have any street cred from an investor standpoint. When you have a dispositions person talking to buyers, they need to be able to talk shop a little bit. So I would recommend
just for that credibility.
Yep, the training with them is gonna be a little more in-depth. You're going to have to spend more time with them because you can, but you don't want somebody calling up who doesn't know what ROI means or cap rate, or they don't know anything about real estate from an investment standpoint and talking to buyers. Now, it won't take them long to learn it, but see if you can find that person local, you know, call a few buyers, let them hear the conversation. Teach them some of the basic vocabulary, that kind of thing. And then, you know, let them hear you have a couple conversations with sellers. And then you're going to have to explain to them, here's what cap rate means. Here's what a buying formula is. Here's what return on investment, return of cash, some of those buzzwords that investors throw around.
Yep.
So again, it's not rocket science. None of it is. But
right.
For,
you get somebody that's comfortable with that.
Yeah, for your buyers, for the buyers you find to have confidence that you can bring them deals, they're going to want to know that, hey, these guys know what they're doing to some extent. So, again, it's a quick learning curve, but my experience has been take a little more time with dispositions than you need to with sales. Sales, they're just talking to homeowners. And they're just talking about real estate. Everybody knows about roofs, plumbing, electric. You know, they've at least heard all that stuff before. So, anyway. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So, that's where I'm at. Other than that, here in my home market, I just got a deal under contract that I said that he wanted to close before the year end of the year.
Yep.
I actually got him to push that out a couple weeks until January. And okay. I already have a buyer on the line. As soon as he sent me back the contract, I contacted one of my buyers. He says he really likes the property. He's coming in town here in like the next week.
Okay.
He said he'll be able to get all the paperwork and stuff done then. But he says he really liked it. This is a guy that just bought two for me last month, so he's already proven and everything like that. So.
So here's the thing. Are you going to hold it for him until he gets to town, or are you going to keep shopping
it? No, I'm going to keep shopping it actually.
Yeah. See if he'll put hard earnest money down.
Yeah.
Say, hey man, you're not going to be here for a week or two. I've got a compressed time frame on this thing. I got to keep shopping this deal unless you submit earnest money.
Right. Right.
So
yeah. And
let's
get
it wrapped up.
He's supposed to be getting back to me tonight, and that's what I was actually telling him that. You know, I'm going to need some type of skin in the game to, you know, I don't think he'll have a problem with that. Usually when I send him something, he'll turn back around and send me out the earnest money fairly quickly.
Nice.
So I don't think that'll be a problem.
I have
another one that I'll be tying up. I'll be getting under contract Sunday. I actually have to go by there. It's a really older couple, and they're in their 80s, and they got most of the stuff out, but they need – He said he has probably like a little bit more that he wants to get out. So I volunteered and told him that I'll go over there and, you know, give him a hand and try to get a couple of those items out. Because he wasn't comfortable with putting the lockbox on there because he still has a couple of items on there. And he said he's like, I still want to get the stuff out. But me knowing that they were kind of old, I just volunteered out the gate and say, look, I mean,
that's,
I want to get, you know, the lockbox.
That's exactly
on
the play.
Get some buyers in. So I'll come over there and help you Sunday, and that way we can.
You got to get
all
creative.
Work sign. Yep. Yep.
You got to get creative.
Like, wow,
somebody says.
Yeah. He's like, wow, I love it, because he was like, I was going to actually hire it out.
You're right. You go the extra mile. That's what it is. Whether it's somebody says I'd love to clean it out, but I don't have anywhere to throw it. Hey, you know, I'll get a dumpster to pull up there, have one delivered. You can fill it up. I'll cover it. All that stuff, right? Make it. You know, that's what Rob's always done and teaches. Make it as easy as possible on your sellers.
Absolutely.
Take care of them for sure. Good stuff.
Yeah, so,
hey, on the first deal,
really happy about that.
On that first deal where you think you have a buyer, what are the numbers? What do you have it for, and what are you selling it for?
So I got it under contract for 30.
Okay.
This was the one I was telling you about where it's set up as a two-bed, one-bath, but it has the 30th room that's already
right
set
the
up
kitchen.
As a bath. Yep. That's already set up as a bedroom, has a closet, everything, the exits and everything that it needs. At a three-bedroom, it rents for, and on the high end, about $875, but I've seen some that rent for like $850.
Okay.
It only needs, like I said, man, this thing is, man, it's in immaculate shape. I mean, carpet is in good shape, paint, doesn't need a lick of paint anywhere. The only thing that it really needs is a stove. Yeah, like a really ancient stove in it.
So this is like a $200 rehab. Plug it in.
Man, yeah. I mean, if you want to go in and just, I mean, you can go in and switch that out and put this thing to rent on the market the same week. So
that's sweet.
It's a really sweet deal. It has,
so there's really not a whole lot for your buyer to inspect other than to come see it and verify what you're doing.
Nope.
It's true.
That's all he wants. Yep. That's all he wants to do, because he's already seen the picture. He's like, man, this is really great. He actually asked me who did the rehab, and I was like, it wasn't actually any rehab done on it. It's in really good shape. They just took very good care of the property. So he was really impressed with that. So I'm gonna sell it to him. I'm looking to sell it to him probably for around $38,500.
Man, that's a smoking deal for him.
Yeah, that's a really good deal.
Watch these numbers. What do you think it rents for?
Probably around it'll rent, I would say $850 for sure.
Yeah. So check this out.
And it's all brick. Yeah.
$850. Brick. Nothing beats brick, right? Because in 10 years, it's gonna have this, you know, the same curb appeal it has today because it's brick.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a great curb appeal.
$850 times 70%, $596.40 times 12. And let's say he's all in for $40. So $71.56 net rents divided by $40,000. That's a 17.9 cap. 18 cap property right there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is awesome. I mean, you can turn a quick $8,500 And that's a great little deal. That's a buyer. Tell you what, you put out one or two of those to a buyer, and that's where you start having them buy sight unseen. And say, hey, yeah, if you can bring me this, I'll take them.
Yeah.
Now, Clint,
and
this one's a little
unique. That's kind of where he's getting
any
to.
Work,
he's
but.
Getting to that point. Yeah.
Yeah,
he's getting to that point where he's starting to trust me.
Yeah.
Where he's kind of getting to that point because, like I said, I just sold him a few of them. And I've already, he's actually out of Utah. He came down and flew in and met with me and everything a few weeks ago. So we got a really good relationship. So I say after we do this deal and maybe another one, I'll really have him on the line.
That's a deal where down the road, you know, it's flip five or six and then pay cash for a rental, whatever the numbers are. Sometimes you have to flip, you know, 7, 8, 9, whatever,
mm-hmm.
pay cash for a rental. But you could, I mean, with two entities, you could buy this thing for 30. You could do the same thing, wholesale it to yourself for 40 to another one of your businesses, put 10 in your pocket mm-hmm. and have an 18 cap rental.
Right. Yep.
So yeah, that,
yeah.
Strong.
Yeah. It's a really
strong,
good
strong, strong. Cool.
Yep.
Well, I hope on Monday that thing, or Tuesday next week when you check in, that thing's wrapped up. That buyer's got to take it. Those are strong numbers.
Yeah, really
so.
Strong. So that's what I'm planning for. I'm really pushing to go ahead and send that in. So.
Yeah, you got to tell him. Listen, man, run it that same math, and I'm being conservative. I'm going to take 30% off the top for property management, vacancy, and repairs. Right. Some people only take
right.
10 to 20. I'm going to take 30. Bam, bam, bam. Here's your price, 38.5, right? We'll split closing costs or whatever. You're all in for 40. That's a 17.9, an 18 cap deal. So you got to tell them this thing will sell very fast. So let's get it locked up. I want to sell it to you, but you know, I'm on a time frame here. You have a contractual obligation to perform on the buy.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, use all of that to get earnest money from him and get this thing locked down.
Okay.
Cool. Anything else, Ron? Good stuff.
Only thing, something just popped in my head. Do you use, or at this point in your business, are you using like a lead manager, or are you generating all those leads?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just having Bird Dogs bring them into FreedomSoft. The VA logs in. And skip traces the new ones, just like the process we teach, and that's I'm letting the technology manage it.
Okay, cool.
Now,
okay, I was
when
just
we,
curious
yeah,
about that.
When I I've got leads in a few different markets right now, a few more coming. At some point, I'm going to turn that over, but I have very little time into managing it right now, so I'm not worried about it yet.
Okay.
When you get to the place where you want to do vacants plus direct mail. Whatever you want to start adding things in, probably makes sense. But right now it's automated.
Yeah,
like I said, not taking much of my time, so I'm just handling it.
Yep. Cool. I was just curious.
Yep.
That's all I got, Mike.
Good stuff. Okay. Who else?
Hey, this is Larry Allen.
Hey, Larry.
Okay. So, my acquisitions guy, he's been going for about 3 days now.
Yep.
I've given him 80 of the Bird Dog leads, and he's going through 67 of them. Like I said in the email, one of the Bird Dogs was more thorough than the other. Like one guy, one Bird Dog had a lot of volume, but he was snapping pictures of a lot, any and everything. I rejected his leads twice, and so I accepted the third pass, but it still ended up being a lot of owner occupied. Not too many, and I actually, you know, I'd rather err on the possibility of being vacant versus absolutely vacant.
Right.
Because there's no way that he can know that. But,
right.
But so I'm cool with that. I'm not even worrying about, you know, what he did and how much it cost and all that. I'm not worried about that part. What I am concerned about is I don't want to discourage my acquisitions guy. Right now he's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
As far as staying motivated because he's high D and he has experience.
Yeah.
What I'm doing right now is I'm prepping some of these Postal Service vacant leads, and I'm about to send those over to my skip. I'm sending those over to my skip tracer now, so that I can
okay.
I can mix those in with these field leads. So as far as conversion, like, is there any guidance on what to expect conversion wise for these field leads?
It's going to be based on a lot of things, but when you get a couple things. He's going to talk to some people that are owner occupied or whatever, right? Your bird dogs aren't going to be perfect with what they bring in, but I agree with you. Some people live in houses that look vacant, and if it looks vacant, that's what we're going off, right? Don't send your bird dog up to knock on the door or any of that kind of thing. Just have them snap the photo. So are you going to get some that are occupied? The answer is yes. The other thing on phone sales is, it's gonna ebb and flow. Like Chris today, he's been out with family for a couple days, but he was on the phone a few days ago, didn't have a whole lot of luck. He was on the phone today and set up 4 inspections before like 1 o'clock. So that's sales. It's gonna ebb and flow a little bit. It's not always gonna be consistent. You're doing the right thing. You want the feedback from your salesperson. Hey, how are these leads? You know, who are we getting a hold of? So what I want to know is how many owners has he talked to that actually owned a vacant property, and how did those calls go?
I don't have it broken out that way. I have, let's see.
Do you have anybody that you're running offers on their property to make an offer?
I'm doing that for him now, but he's going to be the same person to make the offers.
That's fine, but how many offers do you plan to make from what he's done in 3 days?
I have one lady that has some I'm going to convert her into a buyer, but she has like 100 properties, and she wants us to make her an offer on the one that we called her on, but she also said that she wants market price. So it's not really a hot lead, but you know, we're doing it just as an exercise.
How many others?
Out of the 67 that he's done, we don't have any others that are close to being, you know, hot leads.
So something right here is off. So I got to ask some more questions. How many people has he spoken to?
So some of these leads are, because of what we received, some of these leads are duplicate leads. So let's see.
Are we having a lead problem here? That's too many leads to go through without more conversations.
Right. So 16 of those 80 were bad numbers. He still has 13 left, so he's processed 67 of them. One lady said she's not ready to sell right now, so she's a long-term follow-up. Just told you about the one lady that wants us to make her a market price offer, and I mentioned that the last time. 18 of them were he left a message for 18 leads, and then 31 of them are dead. And within that, those dead leads are like institutions, like bank-owned properties, institutions, duplicates. So I think the skew is a lot of these leads are not the ones that I have. It's almost like it's definitely half of them are falling into the dead category, and it's seeming that way because I have duplicate leads from my bird dog, and maybe 10% of the dead ones are from institutions like the school district or a bank or the.
Okay, so that's not a ton, 10%. Right. That's gonna happen. You're gonna run into vacants where a lot of these bigger cities have like a government agency that'll pick these properties up, you know, buy them. Sometimes they own them. Sometimes they sell them. It just depends, but they're going to be in there for sure.
The city has a few, but I think the biggest thing that I'm seeing is I'm being skewed by the bird dog. That's why.
It seems like it. Because if you have, and here's the other thing too. He's left 18 or so messages. So a quarter of this 80, he just hasn't been able to, right? He just has left a voicemail. So I'm going to assume that some of those people are going to call back. He's at least going to follow up with them.
Correct.
And and there should be some motivation there. But, yeah, this is where, right, you've got to have the stats on this, right? Is it a training thing? Is it just a lazy bird dog that you've got to fire and get somebody else? So that's why you've got to know the numbers on this stuff, because going through 80 leads like that and having one person to call something's off, the numbers should be quite a bit higher than that. So Chris only called through, you know, 20, I didn't get a number from him, but I wouldn't guess he called more than 30 leads today, and we've got 4 inspections scheduled, right? So we've got to get to the bottom of this data and what we think is going on.
If I get those same same number of bad leads from the postal service, I know that can't be the case. So that would be
Here's the thing with the postal service. You're going to get however they do it and say this house is vacant. It's not a perfect system either. So you're going to call some owner occupied. That's not a perfect system either.
I don't expect to get a whole bunch of duplicates. Like, I'm literally getting,
you shouldn't have duplicates.
Right. So I have a lot of duplicates in here that I wouldn't have caught because I was paying the bird dog so quickly. I did that on purpose because I wanted them to know I was serious. Once he did the test batch correctly, he sent me in a whole bunch of them, and then we started going back and forth with this rejection thing. So anyway, I know how to hire bird dogs. I do know now that I have to – I can't pay them immediately until I actually screen their leads. Not because I don't want – I would love to be able to pay them immediately, but, you know, it's a waste of time if they just sending me a whole bunch of garbage. And I'm gonna push through these postal service leads to my guy just so that he can get whatever that conversion rate is going to be.
To have some postal ones – skip traced and on backup isn't a bad idea. Obviously, you know, like my email the other day, and it's still this is what we tell everybody: the field leads from a bird dog are still going to outperform the postal service leads. So those want to be your plan A, but you can use them as a plan B for sure.
So that's going on. So, we'll see how that works out. I don't have any questions about that. You know, and I still have more of the field leads to give him. I got to make sure that he's. I talked to him today before he did he did like 20 something a day, and it seems like his capacity is like he can do like 40 in a day.
Right.
So I'm going to talk to him again tomorrow. I wasn't planning on talking to him every day, but I'm trying until we get some things in the contract. I need to make sure he knows that he's not wasting his time, and he's not giving me any indication that he's at that place. But a month from now, he will be at that place.
Yeah, I don't anticipate it taking very long to get this figured out and to get him in the middle of some good conversations. But this is what we have to talk through, right? What's going on? You shouldn't go through that many leads with only really one result. So the other thing I want to ask too is what service was used with your skip trace? You know.
White Pages or something like that. He had like a premium White Pages.
Okay, but so Larry, here's the thing. Go to Upwork today, post an ad, and say, I need a VA that has access to LexisNexis. LexisNexis. Capital L, capital N. TLO, I had a gal with TLO for a while. She went MIA. I can't find her. She lost her TLO access because they had multiple people logging in from it. And TLO tracks IPs, and they shut them down. TLO is top dog, and it's killer. It's really hard to come by.
But this is a little
easier to come by. Go ahead.
This is the thing, though. Even saying that, only 16 of the 80 had wrong numbers.
Right. It seems like it's been okay. Those 16, here's just what I'm telling you. From my data and data of students, get somebody with Lexis first. So when you find that person, those 16 need to be re-skip traced by your VA with LexisNexis because they'll most likely find good numbers for a good percentage of them. I'm telling you, it'll outperform White Pages Premium. So, we had a gal on Intellius, and then we put some leads on LexisNexis, and I didn't tell Chris, our sales guy, but he called, he shot me a text and said, these batch of leads are way better, what's different? And I told him that the skip trace service we used, and he said, more of these, please. So, yeah, it works really well.
I'll go back to my guy. As a matter of fact, because I was going to rehire the guy that did it the last time, I may just post it out again just to see who else applies.
Okay.
My dispositions guy, he quit yesterday before he got started. He realized that he didn't have the time. So my third guy that I was going to make a second acquisitions guy, he may end up being a dispositions guy, but I'm going to do it myself for about a week, and I'll decide whether I want to make the third guy acquisitions or dispositions.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. It can go either way. If anything, start on the acquisition side, because you've got to get some momentum to even need the dispositions person.
Gotcha.
I mean, I know even you with a full-time job, if you're down to, if you only have a couple deals to sell, I mean, you can figure out how to carve out time to have conversation with sellers, shoot out some text messages, emails, that kind of thing. So put the pressure or put the attention on the acquisition side to start talking to sellers, make offers, and get deals under contract. That's where the focus should be. So
that's where I am.
All right.
I'm pushing forward. I'm fine. I need to make sure the people around me are fine, but we're going to keep moving. This is easy compared to what I've done this for 4 years full time. So this is easy compared to some of the other stuff I had to figure out.
Yeah, it really is. It's not rocket science. And, we talk about it on every orientation call. You're going to bump into something. So here we go. You've got, a little, maybe a batch of leads that's not as planned. And so we talk it through, figure out where we think the disconnect is, and move forward. But, yeah, not a big deal, like you're saying. Keep leads in front of your guys. You've got some good pieces in play, so it's right there. So, good stuff. Anything else, Larry?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay, who else?
Lee.
Hey, Lee.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. So far where I'm at, I had some damn good bird dogs. I got almost 300 properties in both of the markets that I opened up in.
Love it.
I got about 280 in Little Rock and about 270 in New Orleans. So those guys really came through for me. On the back end, unlike the other guys, I've been doing this full-time on my own. I don't have a job, so I have nothing but time. But what I've been finding myself doing was I'm pretty damn good at skip tracing. So I've been skip tracing my own leads. I do it at nighttime. I go to sleep about 5 in the morning. So you said go to Upwork and ask somebody if they have LexisNexis.
I'll be back in a little while.
Yeah, that's great if you know how to skip trace. It is not on your highest and best use of time list. So I want you to get that outsourced. You can go, while they're being skip traced, you can go be finding a salesperson to get on the phone and hiring somebody there. You can be talking to you can be talking to buyers in your market, building relationship with people that have cash that's ready to spend. Tell them, hey, man, I've got some marketing that's about to drop. Side note, everybody, if somebody asks me how do I generate leads, I just say the same answer. We do the typical stuff, direct mail, network. I just say we're just consistent at it so we get good results. I'm telling you, we talked to another guy today. We've got an inspection set up on his property so we can see how much work it needs. But he told Chris, my sales guy, he's having a conversation with him. He goes, man, I get 10 postcards a week about this place. Everybody's doing direct mail. He's willing to talk to us because we called him and didn't send a postcard. He grabs the postcards and throws them away, doesn't even look at them anymore. And he tells us, he's like, yeah, I'd consider selling. Tell me what you give me for it. We're the only conversation on the table, and he's getting 10 postcards a week. So don't tell people what you do. It's not rocket science, but nobody does it.
Got you.
I'm just telling you, it's our advantage. It's the advantage.
That's pretty much where I'm at now.
Cool.
I just need to get on the phone with some buyers.
Yeah, so I want you, networking with buyers is a way better use of your time. Now, right, as business owner, we have to wear different hats from time to time to fill in. So the fact that you know how to skip trace, that's great, because if your skip tracer goes missing and you need some of it done, ASAP while you hire somebody else, you can fill in. That's great. But you're better off meeting other buyers, networking, finding a great salesperson, running some interviews there. Because the whole point here is not to build a job. And if you keep skip tracing, that is dependent. That's a system. It is a system, but it's a system that's dependent on you.
Okay, gotcha.
And that is what we call a poor system, right? If you want to have a business, you have to have systems that are dependent on other people, technology, somebody that's not you, something that's not you, right?
I think my biggest thing is like the trust thing. Like, I know if I do it, I'm going to do it the right way, so I got to get out of that mindset.
You have to delegate, because you can't, and learn it now on something easy like skip tracing, because then you're going to switch over to, I got to make an offer, but I can only trust myself. I need to do an inspection on this, but I can only trust myself, right?
Gotcha.
And you're gonna fill in, and you're going to look back in 6 months and say, holy crap, I'm doing everything in the business. I have a job, I can't breathe, right? you'll be closing deals, you're just not going to have any time. So, and we're different, right? All of us are wired a little bit different than that, but I'm sure other people on here can relate. Like, it's just, if I do it, I know I'll get it done, and I know it'll be done right. And so the tendency, if that's your mindset, and if that's how you're put together, that you're just going to do it. And I'm telling you that what we need to learn right now is, I could do it, I know how to do it, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to build a system that is not dependent on me. And that's the piece.
Gotcha.
That's the piece that will create. Without it, you have no lifestyle. You'll close deals, you'll make money, you'll have no time to enjoy it. So let's get it in place now. Build a new habit, right?
Cool.
Work out of a new mindset. So, skip tracer, you have leads that need to be skip traced right now. So you need two ads posted. Skip tracer on Upwork, and if you plan to bring on a salesperson to jump on the phone and start calling these leads, you got to have that ad posted. I'd say both of them today, tonight.
Okay.
Wherever you're at, get feedback on that immediately, and
okay,
start
so,
talking to people.
But just because, like I said, when I started, I actually picked two markets and started in those two markets outside of my Dallas market. So
okay.
Do I get two separate people for each market or just the one person?
Nope. You can have one that can do both. One skip tracer, they can skip trace leads anywhere, and one salesperson, they can make calls in both. Now, moving forward, do you maybe have a salesperson for each market? Probably. Just depends. But for now, one of each will be fine.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Well, that's all I want. Appreciate you, Mike.
Yep. Lee, if you send me send an email to the coaching email address, if you want my the last ad that I posted for a salesperson, don't copy it, but you can change it up a little bit. It's really short, really to the point. I'll send it back to you if you want to use it.
Okay, cool, Mike. Thanks, bud.
Shoot me an email to remind you. Yep. Who else?
All right.
Dennis?
Hey, Dennis.
Hey, good evening. I got my ad out for the sales guys. I got about three
yes.
guys that I'm looking at right now.
Okay.
What is the pay for them? Is there something in the training for that, or how to set up pay?
We usually just talk about it on here. Here's what I'm doing, and I'm doing it the way Rob started out. And I'll tell you that after a couple months, about 3 months, Rob and Brad realized they were paying too much. And so they had to back it off and redo their sales guys a little bit. And so they made it more complicated. They also now pay them W-2. And the reason I don't talk about that much is because most of us, me included, I want to pay everybody 1099. There may come a day when we set up W-2 and have employees and medical insurance and all that stuff, but I don't know that I ever get there or want to get there. If necessity causes it, we'll do it somewhere down the line. But for now, 1099. So the way that we have it set up is basically a weekly goal. And the weekly goal that Rob had, obviously this can all be adjusted, fine-tuned as necessary, but his weekly goal per salesperson was $17,000 in wholesale fees generated. So if they hit $17,000 for the week and it reset Saturday night at midnight, if they hit $17,000, when those deals closed, they were paid 20% of the wholesale fee. If they were below $20,000, they were paid 10% of the wholesale fee when the deals closed. And so that makes it pretty simple. There's a weekly goal. It was either hit or it wasn't. They don't get paid until the deal closes, but when it does, it tracks back to that week and say, okay, here was the number this week, and so X amount is paid when the deal closes. You can do a straight 15%. There really isn't a right or wrong, but I have it set up with that same. I want a weekly goal because I want my sales team to hustle, so they have a target that they see that they can hit that resets on a weekly basis up to 20% is the way it works.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Other one, you said one under, if they don't make the 17K, what was it? 10 or 15?
Rob was paying 10. I mean, you can do three tiers if you want. You can do 10, 15, 20, or you can just keep it simple and say, hey, you get 10% unless, you're crushing it week to week, and then I'll double it, pay you 20.
Okay.
And that works good for a high-D mindset because they're going to see that number, right? They're going to see that number and say, hey, it's Saturday at noon and they're a couple grand short. They got to hustle it up, make some offers, get a contract under. So, that's kind of again, there isn't a right or wrong way. You could do it by the number of deals. I like it tied to the amount of money coming in because at the end of the day, that's what really matters, right? You may have if you're paying somebody per deal, you're gonna probably move some lower end wholesale deals throughout your career where you make $2,000 to $5,000 on them, something like that. So I like it based off revenue generated. That's my preference. And the other thing too, like with Chris, he's newer on our team. You've got to figure out how to work with a salesperson, right, before you really start to gel and things start to click. So, we've got a, for instance, I'm buying a house tomorrow, and he hasn't hit a goal, but we've been, getting some new systems in place, figuring out how we work best together, and we're going to pay him 20% on it just because he's been committed. He's putting in the effort, and we're still figuring out how to work best together. So we're just going to take care of him and say, hey, on this one, let's do 20. And so that, there's some leeway in there, but that's it. Performance-based. You always want a performance-based with salespeople, that high D personality, and, that carrot to get to 20%, you've got to have that in place so that they're hustling to go get it. And it's got to reset, right, a weekly goal.
Okay.
Keep them motivated. So, any other questions on it? Great question.
No, I was concerned because the market I'm working in is kind of low end market where you have, $10,000 deals and things like that. So,
I'm about to buy one for $2,500, but I can still put an $8,000 wholesale fee on that to the house.
Okay.
So, just depends, right? But yeah, that's the thing. You'll have some $2,000 to $5,000 wholesale fees, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
But then you'll. It's also likely that you'll have some that are 10 to 30.
Okay.
You know, or 20,000 plus. You know, you'll come across those too. If you can average about $7,500,
mm-hmm.
which is very realistic, you know, that seems to be a pretty good number.
Okay.
About $7,000 per deal. Some markets you can make more. That would be a really low average wholesale price if you were working Denver, right? Denver's a high price market, so you'll typically do fewer deals, but you'll make more per deal. So if you go into a lower price market and you can make $7,000 per house,
mm-hmm.
that's strong, and it's really doable as well.
Okay.
So.
All right, that's it for my sales guys. I'm gonna set that up, and for I've been talking to buyers. I'm not getting on it. I'm not having enough on the phone, so I was thinking about you talked about a text blast just to get the phone ringing or get the call back. Do you still think that's a good idea, or is it better to just work through the numbers? Because I have numbers.
Yeah, go to two places. You can talk to buyers right now. Go to Craigslist in your market.
Mm-hmm.
Click on Real Estate for Sale, and that'll take you obviously to the properties that are for sale. Then at the top of the screen, kind of left center, there's a drop-down menu, and it'll say Real Estate for Sale, and there's a little downward arrow. Click on that to open it up and go down a couple options and click on Real Estate Wanted. And those will be people who have posted ads like I Buy Houses, We Buy Houses, I'll Make You an Offer, where they've posted an ad in Craigslist that says I'm looking for deals, I'll buy your property. You can call them right now. I've met some killer buyers doing that. I met one guy who's a property manager that we're going to use. Mm-hmm. I met him in this next method I'm going to tell you about. But I met the guy who bought 160 houses this year on Craigslist. I called his ad. I mean, a really, really active buyer going to close. Well, yeah, he said they're going to buy 160 homes this year in this one market. And he posted an ad on Craigslist and I called him. So there are some, there are some really active buyers who will post in there. So that's a great place if you want to talk to a buyer right now. The other thing is, in these lower end markets, there's going to be a lot of landlord buyers. And so what I did was, I went into FreedomSoft and I set up a new buyer campaign under the leads tab, new buyer campaign. I grabbed a local phone number for it, and I tied that number to the campaign. There's a video in the classroom that shows you how to do this.
Okay.
And so then what I did was I went to GoSection8.com, and I went to the city, and I also went to Craigslist, and I went to the rental section in that market, and I shot a text message. I grabbed their first name. Like on GoSection8, you'll see the listing, and then you'll click on it, and most of the time, the person who has it listed, their name and number shows up over on the right-hand side of the screen. And so I just copied that phone number, took it back into FreedomSoft out of that campaign, and sent them a text message that said, "Hey, Dennis, I saw your ad on GoSection8.com. Are you still buying rental property in the area?" And I just asked them if they're still buying. And some people said yes, some people said no. You know, whatever the case. So you'll run into a few things doing that. You'll meet buyers. You may meet folks that would be interested in selling. You know, it looks like you're trying to rent 123 Main Street. Do you have any of your inventory that you're selling? I mean, these are active investors in the area. You'll also meet property managers that way who know other landlord buyers. Right? They know what the market looks like. And if you ever plan to buy and hold, you're going to need one of those relationships anyway for somebody to manage properties for you. So you'll meet all kinds of qualified people in there. And that's just shooting out a quick little text message. So if you log into FreedomSoft,
mm-hmm.
go to the Learn tab on the far right side of the screen and then click on Classroom. At the top of the screen there, that top section right in the middle, there's a series of four videos called Built-In SMS Text and Voicemail System.
Mm-hmm.
And you can watch those. Rob recorded it, and he shows you how to grab a number, how to edit the number, how to tie it to a campaign, and then the fourth video is how to use text messaging to generate leads, like I just mentioned.
Okay.
So, really simple system. But if you, again, if you're looking for a phone call, go right to Craigslist. Go to that real estate wanted section, mm-hmm. and you can just start calling people right there.
Okay.
Yep.
All
easy
right.
way to have instant conversations.
All right. I'll make sure I work through that. And I guess the last thing I had, the LexisNexis is.
Yep.
I'm not going to worry about that. I mean, I was trying to figure out how the guy, how do I know what they have, what they're using?
Yeah.
Because, like, on my list, sometimes I got half of them, I got emails and half of them I didn't, which is not a big deal. But I only was short about 8 without numbers. Almost all of them came back with numbers.
Okay.
So,
see how those numbers are. Yeah, do you know did you ask him what service they're using, or you're not sure?
He said he was using all 3.
Okay. Cool. You should have some good numbers then. Here's why you'd want to know, because not every service is going to have a number for everybody. And so if you ever have your salesperson call through and none of the numbers are good,
mm-hmm.
you want to have them. You want to have a status in there that they can select that says no good numbers, re-skip trace. And so if you know how it was skip trace first time around, now you can know to re-skip trace it with a different service, right?
Okay.
If you have a VA that has access to 3 really good skip tracing services, you're probably fine because you're not going to get numbers for everybody. You're not going to bat 1,000.
Okay.
So, yeah, if they've got 3, and if they don't find numbers in 1, I'm sure they're going to the other 2. That seems pretty thorough.
Okay.
But that's the reason you would want to know moving forward in case you hire a different VA or this person goes away or whatever, so that you can re-skip trace it with a different service.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. And the last thing I was going to say is when I got the post office bird dog, I was talking about this earlier.
Uh-huh.
I sent my VA out on the post office lead. I gave
what do you mean sent them out on a post office lead?
I pulled the post office leads off of FreedomSoft.
Okay.
And I gave them the list to go out and take pictures of the ones that were vacant. And so he went to check 130, and I got 20 back that were actually vacant and boarded up.
Yeah, I didn't think that it would be that low. Interesting. So you had them go verify.
Right. I had him go verify.
Yeah.
And he sent me pictures and stuff of the ones. So it was I don't want to – let me make sure I'm saying that right. How many did I send him? Yeah, I sent him – I think it was 130. I'm not sure, but he only came back with
20. I didn't think the number would be that low, but again, you're always going to hear the same thing from us. Bird dog vacant leads first.
Mm-hmm.
That U.S. Postal Service tool, all right, if and only if you've got to fill in, right? Maybe your bird dogs are, for whatever reason, they haven't driven in a week and you're backed up and you need your leads for your sales team to call and this, that, and the other. So plan B only, not plan A. Have bird dogs drive for vacants, plan A. So interesting. Yeah, I would think I would have thought the number would have been quite a bit higher than that. Again, I'm not sure how the post office does it. You know, I'm assuming it has to do with backed up mail, or that's one part of it. I don't know about change of address, whatever they're tracking. But yeah, trained eyes through a bird dog going to find vacants is still the best way, for sure.
Okay.
All right, who else?
Hey, Mike, it's Janie Potts.
Hi, Janie, how are you?
Good. Just a quick question with the skip tracing. How important do you think it is for them to get an email on the homeowner?
Not as. I want phone number.
Okay. That's what I thought, because I just got, I sent my, batch of 30 to my skip tracer last night, and he got them done already, and he said it was taking him the longest time to get the emails. So he said it would take him like an hour to do only 7 or 8. So I said, well, why don't you just get the phone numbers for now? And, if later we think we might need an email on them or something, we can ask you to, try and track that down or something. Because I thought that saves him some time. It's saving me some money. And, he's coming back with several phone numbers for most of them. So I figured that was more important than an email.
Yep. I'm not even telling. I haven't even told my skip tracer to grab email if they show up on the screen.
Okay.
They're just grabbing phone numbers, and I want to go to the phone call.
So I don't know why. I guess maybe he just thought
he
should
just
get
assumed
that, as well.
That you wanted that as well. Yeah. If it's, I tell you what, if it's in the service that they're using, and it shows likely email, and they can just copy and paste it, great. But if he's having to go out and do research, which it sounds like, to try and find it,
yeah.
I would say stick to one service that works good, like Lexus. Copy and paste over the numbers and get that sale. Get whoever's going to be making calls, whether it's you, Larry, or a salesperson. Get that person on the phone with those numbers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. That was it.
Perfect. Who else?
Mike, this is Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, so, I'm just, these bird dogs are really getting a little bit frustrating. So I had the one gal that was doing fairly good and got me a few in, and then she dropped off yesterday. I sent her a text just checking in and didn't hear back from her, and I sent her an email this afternoon, haven't heard back. So I've got like six of them out there, and not having much luck getting anything coming back in. I did readjust all my ads and changed the phrasing, and I actually went to there.
Hey, send me links to your ads.
Okay.
Did you use the template in the coaching center, or did you write your own?
I just wrote my own.
Yeah, let me read it.
Okay.
And my guess is, I'm 95% sure, I'm going to tell you to follow the template.
Okay.
You want it? Send it over to me. Send me, email the links to your ads over to the coaching center.
Okay. I'll do it. So.
And then, we've got to get somebody else out there. So, this is one of those points where, some people just bump, right, hit a wall here, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. There are frustrations and things coming our way. So persistence always wins. I want to see that ad, though, and let's see if we need to make an adjustment in how it's worded before we get it back out there. So.
Okay. I'll do that.
Do you have a VA that can skip trace?
I don't yet, because I only have probably maybe a 15 that they could go out and actually skip trace, which I had done it already, just kind of wanted to talk to you the other day about it. And I don't mind paying them to skip trace it again just to see what they come back with. But
I was going
to
say, if you want to pull, use the FreedomSoft tool, because you bumped into a little bit of a delay here with bird dogs to pull. I mean, you can pull vacants right now. And get a couple hundred over to be skip traced, you can bring a skip tracer on and do that. And then as soon as you have field leads coming in from bird dogs, just tell them to switch over to that campaign. I'd be all for it. But, again, those leads are plan B to fill in a scenario like this. I still want, even if you do that, I still want you to keep your ad current, be talking to bird dogs, and get people out in the field, because they're still going to be better. So.
Okay.
But, yeah, let me check that ad. Let me check the ad. See what it says.
I did went and did some lead swiper campaigns just to, in that area, to go see what's going on and, just bringing in some vacant house leads.
Yep.
So those are.
Hey, here's what you can do too. Go, like I was just telling Dennis, he's looking for buyers on Go Section 8. Set up a seller campaign. Grab a phone number local to your market. Tie it together. Go to GoSection8.com. And you can do this with Craigslist landlords as well that have a rental for sale. Say, hey, Mike, I see your ad for rent on GoSection8.com. Comma, you wouldn't be interested in selling, would you?
Okay.
And a lot of people say no, but some people will say yes. What do we know about a house that's advertised as a rental online? We know it's vacant. Vacant real estate causes issues. So here's what's cool. Lead with the question, you wouldn't be interested in selling, would you? It'll get you the conversation. If they say no, say, hey, I appreciate the reply. Are you still buying in the area? So start with the sell. Are you looking to sell? If yes, have a conversation with them. If no, are you still buying and look to put them on your buyer's list? So okay. you can find two different types of investors with the same method.
Okay.
So you could do that. You could do some of that as well. You'll have conversations within, typically, you'll at least have responses within 10 minutes of when you start sending text messages.
Okay.
So, and again, all you right. can see how to do that with video training. Same place I told Dennis, go to the classroom in FreedomSoft. So you go to the Learn tab, far right side of the screen, click Classroom, that top section of videos in the middle, it's a four series section of videos called built-in SMS text and voicemail system. So that'll show you how to grab a number, edit the number, tie it to a campaign, and then video four is how to use text messaging to generate leads.
Okay. I've been using the Classroom quite a bit and just going through just
cool.
trying to get used to the FreedomSoft and
yep.
and just
and if you're gonna do a plan B, do that. Go directly to landlords and pull some vacant data and have it skip trace. That will, because anybody can log into Craigslist and see those leads. So it's not that you can't pull a deal out of there, but you'll be more effective if you do the text message method and if you use the Postal Service vacants, skip trace them and get on the phone with those while you're finding a bird dog or two that can be consistent, bring in what you need.
Okay. I also went and just Googled the neighborhoods and just kind of, like you said, rolling up and down the streets, just seeing what I'm seeing and not seeing an overabundance of vacants for sure in the zip codes that are showing the hot spots. So, just not – and I'm kind of in the worst parts of town. I'm what hit the
so go
crime
to,
rates, and we're in the red.
Yeah.
And a lot of them.
Yeah, and that's the thing about I've got, I'm looking at some deals in the red too. And it just, some people won't – they'll say I'll stay away, and other people will tell you that's exactly where I want to buy.
Sure.
So really just depends. That's the other thing too, is if you ever want to dial in what's going on with the market, talk to buyers. And with that text message method, you'll find them and you'll have conversation. And, people like to talk about, their town or what they're doing with real estate and that kind of thing. Get into 10 to 15 conversations with buyers and landlords in the area and ask them what's going on. See what the locals think about the market.
Okay.
Go to the FreedomSoft tool under marketing. Click vacant houses. Choose the state. Put in your city. Don't do any other search parameters and click search and see how many pull up.
Okay.
See how many the Postal Service says there are. And then shoot me an email. Send it into the coaching center. Tell me what you find.
Okay.
There. Because most bigger markets have plenty of vacant properties. Just got to figure out where to go. But let's see if we can get to the bottom of it. What else, Mike? Any other questions?
No, just need to start getting some leads going so I can start pushing everything else.
It's all about leads.
Kind of, yeah. So
all about it. Yep. the foundation. So, yeah, push through. Persistence always wins. Right, you're learning through the process. This will only serve you, you know, for as long as you're an investor. But, yeah, stay the course. Send me how many vacants in your market, and then send me links to those Craigslist ads. Let me take a look at those quick. All right?
Sounds good.
Beautiful. Who else? We get everybody covered? Yeah. What?
This is Esther, Mike.
Hi, Esther.
Hi.
Where have you been?
Oh, I've just been dealing with my eye situation, which is not doing good. And I'm, it's still an ongoing process.
Yeah.
And we're starting on a new treatment here next week. So.
Right.
Hopefully that will change. I'm looking for a change. So I've been kind of down.
I wanted to check in and see what's been going on. So, yes, do you have a question?
Yes.
What can I help you with?
Yes. I would like some clarification on how you arrive at that number, the 17,000 for the weekly goal on the wholesale fees. How do you?
We think it's attainable. We think it's attainable, and it's a good number. I mean, if somebody's generating just shy of $20,000 in wholesale fees a month, and they're actually hitting that goal, when those deals start to close, you know, not every deal closes that you get under contract, but a good percentage of them do. And you know, that's serious income into the company. So, if an average wholesale fee is, you know, 5 to 8, call it 7,000. And we have a full-time salesperson on the phone. Two deals is 14. Can they tie up, you know, 2.5 deals in a week with these leads? And we think absolutely. So now I'll go back on that and say, depending on the situation and how much time your salesperson has, and you know, that's for a full-time salesperson. 17,000 is a realistic number. Your situation, you may have to adjust that a little bit, which is fine. There really isn't a right or wrong answer there.
All right. So how you pay them, they get paid if they get a seller to sell for $7,000? Is that how that works?
Well, yeah, two sides of the transaction, right? The sales team, the acquisitions people are just working on talking to sellers so we can make offers and get deals under contract. You still have to find an end buyer.
Right.
And so the way that works is they are the front end of the transaction, actually getting the deal under contract. So what would happen is, let's say salesperson's working this week and they tied up three deals for easy math at $7,000 apiece. You know, they got them for you know, whatever, $5,000. And we thought, yeah, we ought to be able to move these for 12. You know, that's still a great price to the end buyers. You've got some feedback probably from buyers in the area that, you know, 12,000 is a reasonable price for that neighborhood. So, you know, we're trying to mark them up $7,000. And let's say they have, mm-hmm. you know, three of them tied up this week and that thing goes to closing. And so that's, you know, three of them would be $21,000. They obviously hit 17 or made more than 17 this week. And so let's say the first deal is ready to close 3 weeks down the road and it closes and we make our $7,000 wholesale fee and we track it back to this week. They hit the goal. We pay them 20%, which is $1,400.
Okay.
So they don't get paid until that thing closes.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Okay, yep. Now I understand it. I was
so that goal. Gotcha. Yeah, that goal, that 17,000, you can make it whatever you want. If you have a full time mm-hmm. salesperson with good leads like these vacants are, it's a realistic weekly goal for them. And like I said, I don't know if you were on the whole call today, but Rob and Brad, they were paying their sales guys like this. And they realized about 3 months in that they were paying them too much. They had to back it off because they were doing more than 17,000 every week. And so they were paying them 20% on every deal. that was going out the door, and then they were paying 10% to their dispositions person. And anyway, their model's a little more involved, right? They're doing construction and turnkey rentals and some other things. But yeah, that method works good, and it, you know, you get a motivated salesperson on, and you know, they'll be able to hit some nice numbers, no doubt. Which $17,000 a week is a fantastic number.
Mm-hmm.
That's pushing $80,000 a month in wholesale fees when those deals start to close.
Right. Okay, so I guess I'm still confused between the acquisitions and the dispositions.
Yep.
Salesperson, what I'm...
Acquisitions and sales, same thing.
Okay.
Sometimes we use two different names. So salespeople are taking skip-traced vacant leads, calling the phone numbers, talking to sellers, finding motivation, and their goal is to make an offer and get a contract. That's the sales acquisition side. Dispositions then takes that contract to your buyer's list to complete the wholesale transaction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? That's what dispositions is. Moving, selling the contract to the end buyer. What's that?
And how do they get paid?
Typically, if they're on commission, like a straight 10%, dispositions is a little bit easier than sales, especially over time as you have, you know, an established buyer's list. It's pretty common when you have a good buyer's list and your sales team tees up a good deal, it's pretty common for a dispositions person. Again, now this is when you have some buyers that you've sold to, that kind of thing, but it's pretty common. Like Rob's dispositions guy will get a new property, he'll send out an email and a text message, and it's pretty common for him to have an end buyer within 48 hours. He'll maybe make a handful of phone calls. I mean, he's updating a website, sending out the property, usually via text, phone call, email blasts, and some calls. But like I said, it's pretty common for that guy to find the end buyer in a relatively short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the sales team is going to work a little bit harder. So they can make up to 20%. Dispositions is usually a straight 10. Again, this is all, I'm just telling you how I have it set up. That's the thing about, you know, business, and you can find whatever works with your team, but this gives you at least a baseline or a working model to follow. You know, I'll tell you right now, I'm handling dispositions for us. I know the buyers. I like talking to buyers. I know how to sell the deals, and it, you know, I can do it in a relatively short amount of time. So I'm handling it for now, which is, that's fine with, you know, with where you all are at as well. You're going to wear different hats in your business for different seasons. So.
Okay.
Yep.
That really helps. That really helps. I feel much better.
Good.
My girl is ready to start rolling.
Focus.
And so I'm looking forward.
Don't
to
even
something
at
happening
this point,
real quick.
At this point, don't even worry about a dispositions person.
Okay.
Get vacant leads in the door from Bird Dogs. Have them skip traced. Put a high D person on the phone with those leads, and turn them loose.
Okay.
And you can run dispositions for a little bit. So.
Okay.
Yep.
Alrighty. Very good. Well, I hope to be talking to you next week.
I hope things go well with whatever's going on physically there with you, with your eyes. So.
Yes. Well.
Any other questions? Send an email in, and then we're gonna do office hours next week, Tuesday and Thursday again. Obviously, Monday's New Year's Day, so Tuesday, Thursday again next week. I'll send an email out tomorrow as a reminder.
Great.
So. Yep.
Thank you.
Good to hear
much.
From you, Esther.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You.
Who else?
Thank you.
All right. I'm I'm going to assume the silence means that all questions are answered at this point in time. So, hey, everybody, have a safe and happy New Year. I hope you all have a great weekend. Again, we'll be on Tuesday, Thursday next week. Same time, same number, all that good stuff. I'll shoot out an email, but that'll be redundant if you're on the call here. So just switch your calendar. The week after that, we'll go back to our regularly scheduled Monday, Thursday. And, yeah, that's a wrap, everybody. Good stuff happening, as always. You know, keep your feet on the gas. We want you moving slightly faster than you're comfortable with. That's where we want to be. All right? So any questions today and tomorrow? I'll be a little bit out over the weekend, obviously, just some family stuff. Actually, wedding anniversary on Saturday and then New Year's Eve on Sunday. So busy weekend coming up. But, yeah, everybody, be safe. Happy New Year to you. And we'll chat
Happy
in 2018.
Year.
Yep. Thank you.
Congratulations,
Happy
Mike.
Happy New Year. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Yeah. 12 years. 12 and counting. Oh, so. Yeah. Good stuff, everybody.
All right.
Take
all
care
right.
And we'll talk
all
soon.
Right.
All right. See
all right.
Ya.
Have a good
Thank
one.
You.
You too. Bye.
Bye.